Welcome back. Taxation is theft, as always. I'm back again today, and today I've got my good friend Latanya Whittington.
Hi, everybody.
I'm gonna go. We missed that. I was like, I'm not gonna switch to your shot right in the middle of that. But feel free to do that whenever you feel like it. You'll know what I was. The audience will know what I was talking about any minute now. But so Latanya is a good friend of mine that I've worked with a few different times. We got to hang out at the Libertarian National Convention in New Orleans, and also at CannaFest, where we were fighting to free the weed in Texas.
Free the weed.
I'm gonna pull my laptop around over here just because. There we go. I totally forgot how I was setting this up today.
I can't hear you really well.
Oh, you can't
there
hear
you
me.
Go.
All right.
Oh yes, I can now. Yes, 100.
So, I've got my rum today in my magical taxation is theft mug.
I love it.
And what do you have today? If you're not drinking.
Oh, well, you know, I always, well, I'm the cannabis girl, right? So always got the cannabis. That's my coffee, Daniel, you know. And I want to thank you for having me on your show. This is really
Absolutely.
Amazing. This is awesome, you know. I love the hat.
Thanks. Let's talk. Where do we start? There's so many interesting things because let's talk about legalizing cannabis or weed or marijuana, whatever you want to call it.
That's actually how we met. You really just started about how we met, which was first at the National Convention in NOLA, you know, but actually I saw you before then, you know.
Yeah, we've been Facebook friends since
friends.
Way before that.
Yes, and you can't miss you know, you're very noticeable. But with my wonderful friends who I love dearly, Desiree, and Tyler Lindsay, you know, Clayton, you know, and, you know, Adam Kokesh and all of them, you know, had introduced me to the Libertarian Party, you know. So, you know, I got a chance to meet all the genuine people, and you have been to be a part of that, obviously, you know. So that's how we basically, you and I met, dealing with cannabis, because that's how I met them. When I went to NOLA and also the Texas Libertarian Convention here, it was for Free the Weed, you know, and everything I do is basically for Free the Weed. I associate with every party, you know, to see who can help with the legalization with it. You know, because everybody could do their part. So that's why I was there, to make my face be known. And obviously I must have done that, you know. And I'm so glad, you know, because that was my purpose. And NOLA, I was invited by Adam Kokesh. And I was on a panel, you know, how they have the panels, mm-hmm. you know. And it was actually about minorities, voting and becoming more participant in politics, you know, and how could we do that. And so he had different people on there, you know. But of course I snuck in there about Free the Weed, you know. And so you know, I'm
minded.
Pretty sure that's was you there for that?
I caught part of it, but we had like I think we were doing our our regional caucuses at that
Yes, they kept y'all very busy. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
that's one of the things that I hate about the conventions is you don't get to go see a lot of the panels and speakers. And this is
Oh
why I keep pushing for the libertarian cruise that I hear about every once in a while. I think they did it last year maybe or the year before, but they need to do it this year, and it needs to be where like we can actually go see all the cool stuff that we don't get to see when we're at the conventions.
yeah, I mean,
But
it was still a packed room. They were saying that at hours that there were more people than any of the forums that they did have.
yeah.
And they were really listening to what we all had to say. But especially when I was speaking of the legalization of cannabis, everybody in the room agreed with me, because they really explained to me that that's a platform on the Libertarian Party. So that was a topic that's easy to be discussed, So anyway, it was quite amazing, and how it was accepted compared to other parties that I've been in and that I've visited. The Libertarian Party is the most party that is the most accepting to it and to me, and my purpose, because they do see my passion and understand not everyone is accepting to me and who I am. But I can say the majority, if I'm gonna do a percentage, I would say 80%. Most definitely.
So tell me about, well, first let me just say the libertarians put the party in political party. So that's you're talking about legalizing weed. But what kind of reactions? 'Cause I mean the Democrats are, they're known for being more weed friendly. They're kind of like they're the mainstream party that's for legalization. They're probably the party that claims, they claim responsibility for the states that have done any kind of legalization. What kind of responses do you get usually when you talk to them or the Republicans, and how are they different?
Okay, so let me make sure I answer correctly. So do you want to know basically about Harris County? And
Just
do you want to
anywhere.
know about the Democrat and the Republican side? Because I
Yeah,
can give you all that.
just either. I mean,
Okay.
not geographically specific. It can be anywhere. But I guess you mostly
Okay.
work with Harris County, so that's if that's what you know.
Yes.
So
Yes,
yeah, what's their response?
well, I'll speak on a broad, from the beginning. I do know that the Democratic Party statewide supports legalization because I had a chance to meet Nancy Pelosi, at our yearly Whig Dig dinner. And I didn't talk to her long, but I did tell her about my passion and who I was at the time, the executive director for Houston Normal at the time. And so I told her about my fight, and she grabbed me tight and said, "Don't stop doing it." She looked me dead in my eyes, and she said, "The party supports you, and we are for legalization, for medical purposes." She did mention that to me. So, because of the money, the big money and stuff like that that's involved, I'm pretty sure that's the focus for them, even though, they make it for to help people. And which, right now with the Democrats, we're at the point where we'll just accept basically what they give us. That's the truth. But, dealing with the Harris County Democratic Party, I'm not so much having an easy time. I have some candidates that will stand up and speak up, and there's more so that don't. And being so is because of the vote ratio. They probably have figured out that in their precinct area, that it's more individuals who do not support cannabis reform. And it's more, less that do. You know, so when I approach them or when I ask them, you know, I get the yeah, yeah, and I have a stack load of cards, you know, but when I try to reach out to them, you know, it's like non-existent, you know, and then I get the shy away. I mean, that's the truth. And this is the toughest time right now is during the election time, like we're voting. And, you know, what I try to explain to them, Tanya, I'm serious. What I try to explain to them is that we vote too, you know, and I have to say we because, you know, it's a section of us, a cannabis warriors, you know, and we want to know who to vote for. If you for cannabis reform, then you got our vote. But if you're not, we're not going to vote for you, you know, and that's the way it should be because we need to form a great and better system at the Capitol in Austin, okay? So, you know, that's basically what I'm getting from the Democrat Party. When I go to events, you know, and it's been a lot, and I'm so glad because now I have the opportunity to bring my signs that say free the weed and legalization of cannabis, you know. And I went to one event, and it was an open forum. And I have to give it up to my guy, Marco Ash. You know, he was the only libertarian candidate that was there. So, you know, he stood and said his thing. And I did my thing in the background, and I got so many shots. Those people wanted to, you know, kick me out of there. They were, like, pushing on me and stuff. And I
saw that. That was the one.
It's funny.
That was the one that you live streamed, right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that.
Beginning. Yeah, it was really traumatizing, you know. But I kept fighting through, you know. Yeah. So I didn't get the beginning part, you know, because that's when the pushing and shoving was going on. For some reason, I forgot my phone. So I walked out, and Mark was concerned. He was like, oh, what happened to LaTanya? Is she okay? Did she go to jail? And no, I went to get my phone. And so, you know, I thought it was over, and these ladies were telling me to leave out of here, that, you know, I didn't need to be there, and then I need to go sit down, you know. And these were, like, older Black women, and it was really sad how we're still stuck in the Stone Ages. We're not trying to come around to what's going on now, that it really helps people, you know. So I stood strong, and I stood my own. It was a few ladies at the end asked me if I wanted some water. And they were supporting me, you know. And they were apologizing for them and their behavior. But, you know, Dan, you can't help someone's, you know. It just goes to show you, you know, doing this is not easy. You know, you have to really be dedicated, you know. Stuff like that just really made me stronger. Now, that was a forum for all candidates, but Daniel was mostly Democrats there, you know, because I knew almost everybody there, okay? Mm-hmm. There was a few Republicans. Thomas Wang was there, and he's been to a couple of my meetings. And, you know, he was for Free the Weed, so, you know, he did say a couple of good things for me to kind of save me while I was there. But I was by myself, Daniel. I was alone. You know, that's okay. You know, it's okay because that was a learning experience. I wasn't afraid, and I'll do it again.
Awesome. Yeah, isn't it funny how when you're alone, it's easier for them to kind of like try to tell you like, oh, you need to go over here, or, you know, to try to silence you. But if you were with a group of like 20 or 30 people, like when we do the Free the Weed, like the open carry walks, then, like, you know, they don't try to get you out of the way. It's like there's, you know, just the fact that you've got so many people, it's I think I don't want to use the word that it makes them afraid, but it makes them it makes them less likely to feel that they have the power to intimidate you out of their way, I think. So yeah, it's always great to travel in packs, and unfortunately, it's hard to find, you know, a lot of good people who are willing to get out there, even to just hold up signs, even to just stand and have your back, because it's, you know, a lot of people are afraid of you know what this means. Are they going to get arrested? Is, you know, are people going to think they're crazy? You know, man, I've heard all of them. Like, yeah, well, I'd like to go, but I don't know if my job's gonna, you know, do something against me because they find out that I'm out here protesting for legalization, and meanwhile they drug test me every once in a while. And it's like I can understand where the fear is a little bit founded, but at the same time it's like that's the fight. If you just lay down and let whatever happen, then it's just going to get worse. You know, some people complain that, you know, they want to fight for legalization of marijuana, but they're afraid, you know, because they work for a company that drug tests. They don't use it themselves, but they're just afraid that they're going to get fired, and it's completely insane. And then, you know, you've got some people who they work jobs where they might get drug tested, and they want to use it on the weekends or at night, you know, for pain or you know, whatever else. And they can't because it's not like alcohol, like where, you know, you can't show up to work the next day and take a test for alcohol and it's not in your system. But if you do that with weed, it's like it's there for, you know, depending on how much, it could be there for a few weeks. So yeah, it's I don't know. We've got to stand up and say something, or else, you know, it's going to be something else. It's going to keep growing. Luckily, this fight is going back in the direction towards personal freedom right now, where we're, you know, we are moving the ball in the right direction. Desiree saying, I don't smoke, but I support any and all freedom. So, and she's, you know,
yeah, afraid of shrooms too.
Yeah. She likes the shrooms.
That's right. Afraid of shrooms. Afraid of shrooms.
So
I love you, Desiree.
So man, what else is there? So like so you work a lot with the Democrats. But obviously, you know, we're able to sit down and have a civil conversation. And I know we've even talked about some issues before that we don't even agree on, but what's interesting is, you know, we've been able to have, you know, conversations where we kind of go both ways, you know, back and forth about certain issues. And at the end, we agree to disagree. Meanwhile, you have people who really just, they're so intolerant, they can't do that. Like, it's like, as soon as they find out that they're from a different party, some people will just say, you're a moron, I'm not even going to talk to you. And I think that's,
right,
that's pretty dangerous.
Don't agree with their views.
Exactly. It's almost like they're the, I don't want to knock Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're like the Jehovah's Witnesses that are like, I'm going to convince you to like Trump, and you know, if you say anything bad about Trump, I'm just going to say, well, I can't waste my time here with you, I'm going to go on to the next person, and convince someone else that they should worship Trump. It's kind of fascinating how this whole political battlefield is set up right now. So tell me about your organization, Cannabis Reform of Houston. What exactly is that, and what else do you do with that?
Well, Cannabis Reform of Houston, is a new organization. Well, I could go into the full detail, but you probably know a little bit prior. But we used to be Houston Normal. And, you know, Houston Normal was pretty known in Houston area for fighting for cannabis laws. And because of tax issues prior to me becoming executive director, you know, the label was shut down. So, you know, what I decided was to keep it going, because there were people, you know, in the organization that still wanted to continue to keep fighting. And I didn't want to let them down, you know. So we formed Cannabis Reform in Houston, you know. You know, the board has changed. There's different people, but I'm still here, you know. And what we're doing is we're still pretty much focused on the same things that Houston Normal was, but we're actually doing more, you know, legwork, and we're doing more communication with everyone. You know, we're reaching out, we're getting out there instead of sitting back, sending emails and questionnaires and finding out, you know, yes or no. So what we're doing is, you know, we're going out there, we're letting people know about us, we're educating people. We know that November is very important. So, you know, it's all about who we vote for. So we're getting out there, we're trying to register people to vote, you know. I'm a voters registrar, so, you know, for the Harris County area. So, you know, I'm having events, you know, to bring people together. And I'm asking for Libertarians, Republicans, and Democrats to come to these events. Why? Because it's going to take all of us to do it, you know. Because once November 6th is over, no, it's not going to be all Democrats. No, it's not going to be all Republicans. You know, no, it's not going to be all Libertarians. It's going to be a mixture of everybody. So it's very important, you know, that we communicate with everyone. You know, so when the bills are being written and pulled up again, in which that's the story, you know, we can depend on these people to pass them, you know. That's when we're also educating our people how to testify and how to lobby. And I know that you know what I mean by that, you know. So we're preparing to go to Austin, find out who your representative is, your senators, you know, write them letters. And call them, let them know why you want it to be legalized and the bills that you support, and you want them to support the bills, you know. And if you have a story to tell, like I do, you know, prepare it, get it together, and we'll go down there and we'll testify, you know, because, I mean, it's really great to have the meetings and to get together. But giving awareness is what's important. And, you know, we're also joining up with COCW and, you know, Cannabis Open, Carry Walks, okay? And which I give it up to them because they're really an awesome, awesome group of people. And they support cannabis reform in Houston. So we're joining together because I love the walks. They're all over Texas. And so just not in Houston, you have all the little cities that are joining together, you know, to stand up and say, hey, we want to change, you know. We don't like the laws. You know, it's different in Houston. They have the 4 grams and, you know, you get a ticket and you take a class. That's not in all cities. You know, you go to Richmond or Katy, you get busted for a joint, you probably got to do a month or 2 months, and other places for a roach, you got to do time.
Yeah.
So what we're asking is for all over Texas, you know, we want to change. So that's basically what COCW is doing, you know, like joining people together and giving awareness, you know, we're all educating, you know. So we're standing strong. you know, because we can't stop, won't stop, you know. So we're doing events, we're going places, and we're just letting people know who we are. And if you want to join us, please, you know, we're on Facebook, Cannabis Reform in Houston. We also have a website, and that's, you know, cannabisreforminhouston.org. You can get on. And also, we have a IG, Instagram, which is Free the Weed HTX, of course. So, you know, you can post, you can, you know, leave videos. If you feel like, you know, you want something to say, say it. You know, we all have a voice. So that's basically what my organization is doing. We're trying to give everybody a voice, you know, like never before. You know, I've been in this game fighting for about 3 years going on now. And in 2017, I did go to Austin and the Capitol, and I testified. And it was me and Karen Reeves and a couple of other people. And it was very little of us, Daniel. So, you know, what I'm hoping is in 2019, it's going to be different, you know. Like, we should flood the halls of the Capitol. You know, it should be many of us. And if we're not going to testify, just come to support the ones that are. You know, because I remember standing in there alone, you know, maybe with a few people that I came with, Kara and a couple of other ladies, you know. So, you know, it was just a few fighters, a few warriors, you know. But now we have many. You know, we have many. So, you know, I'm just really hoping that this time it'll be different. It has to be. So I just want to, you know, tell you guys about an event that we are doing here in Houston. If I could plug this in, you know, it's going to be October the 6th, Daniel. Okay. And the last day to register to vote is October the 9th. So October the 6th, we're going to be at Midtown Bar and Grill. And it's going to be like a rock to vote type of situation going on. And it's from 8 until. And COCW is joining us. We have Jay, a smoke shop. And we have a couple of rappers coming. So, you know, if you haven't registered, come and be with us. You know, come and rock with us at Midtown Bar Grill. And it will be on my Facebook, in Cannabis Reform in Houston. And then also, Daniel, did you come to my Global Marijuana March that I had this year in May? Was you here for that?
No, I don't think I was.
Okay. Well, we will. I could have. Okay. Well, we had a walk at McGregor Park. So earlier that day, we're going to have a walk to vote. I know I'm kind of going backwards, but that's going to be with COCW, Houston COCW, and we have a couple of people coming in from out of town. And we're going to be at McGregor Park from 3 to 7, you know. So we'll have that on the page as well. So make your signs, come out there with us. You know, we're going to be all about Free the Weed. I really like this area, Daniel, because it's diverse. You know, it's by a college, U of H, which is the main campus. Mm-hmm. And then also it's in an urban area, too. So you're going to have a mixture of people there, you know. So I really love that because we need to reach out to everybody, you know, instead of just a certain area. This, where this is going to be is definitely a mix of culture. So I'm really excited. Nice. So October the 6th is the day.
Awesome.
October 6th.
So let's go back for a second because I wanted you to get that plug in, but I wanted to talk about
thanks.
So, you were talking about testifying and lobbying and this other stuff. Can you, because I know, like, just even hearing those words is intimidating for a lot of people, and they're like, I could never do that. I don't know what that is or how to do it. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's this kind of I don't know, the self-defeating, like, you know, the voice in the back of our heads that comes out and says, you know, you can't do that. But it's really like, you know, it's fear of the unknown. Once you know what it is, you realize it's really not that big of a deal. So why don't you tell me kind of what's your experience like as far as you know, what kind of lobbying you've done, what you're, you know, what it was like for you to go testify, you know, any of that. What was your experience with that?
Well, I'll just start from the beginning. It's really fun, you know, getting up there. What usually do is make it like a road trip, and we would spend the night because a lot of us lived here, which was really great. I have to give it up to Karen. I'm gonna take this with me. We would prepare the night before, so we would have our letters together. We would, you know, go copy them, make 20, 30, whatever copies. We also would write cards. You write a card to your representative and say, hey, you know, my name is Latonya Whittington. You know, I'm in your district and I support cannabis. And, or if they did vote for a bill that you know about, you tell them thank you for your support, you know. So that's the way, you know, to kind of reach out to them, you know. And then if we took some letters from other people who could make it, but we got their address and phone number, we would look up their representative to see exactly who it is to make sure that we go by their office. Okay. So, you know, once we would go, if it was during a time when they were there, and that's usually when we would go. A lot of times they're in their office, a lot of times they're not. We would end up having to speak with their secretary or, you know, who's ever there, you know, to watch the office while they were gone. And so they were very nice. It seems like they give them a script that they have to follow. When we go, we knock at the door and they're like, hi, sorry, they're not here, but what are you here for? And then, you know, we tell them what we're here for. And then we have to sign this sheet, you know, to let them know that we were there. And I'm happy to do that because what they're supposed to do is email us back or send us a letter saying, you know, thank you for coming and we're gonna read or listen to what you came to speak about. But I got zero letters, you know, and zero email. But anyway, nevertheless, you know, I do remember one that we did reach. She was one of my representatives, is Sophonia Thompson, and she was actually there. So once we got into the office, it's really big. She had like four or five sections. So once we got into the office, we would sit like in the waiting area and we'd tell them what we were there for. And then after that, we went and she had four chairs in front of her. So we got to sit there and talk with her. And actually, Karen knew the bills and everything that she voted for and the ones she didn't. So we actually talked to her about those bills. Okay. And so she gave us her answer why and why not. And maybe she didn't know about some of them, you know. So I do remember that, you know. And she was supposed to look it up. So, you know, that's one of my experiences. You know, and so after that, they thank you, give you your card. And, you know, if they're not there, we were very pushy. If they weren't there, we would like slide it under the door. So when they would come in, you know, they would walk on it and you have to pick it up because it's right there. Okay. So it didn't matter if you was there or not. So that's lobbying. Oh my God, it's a humongous place. So you would want to bring tennis shoes or flat shoes. You know, become dressed professionally, especially if you're there for cannabis, because they already have that, you know, hippie thing on us, you know.
Yeah.
So we always say, you know, come dress nicely. So that would usually last all day. You'll have a list. You need to have your list together, you know, so you can know each person and who you need to see, you know. So testifying. So, you know, you'll know exactly what day it is and when they're having it, you know. So once you get there, they have these little pad things, and you go and you fill it out, you put your name in. And what bill you're there to testify for. Because on those days, they'll have plenty of bills. You know, they'll have gun right bills, they'll have school bills, all kinds, you know. But they always push the cannabis bills to the last one of the
Yeah.
day, okay? So if you're coming for the cannabis one, be sure to wait, okay? Because I
Yeah, we were
remember we were
there.
there till like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning
Yeah.
time.
That was what? That was like 2014, right? Were you
Yeah,
involved?
no, mine's was 2017.
Oh, 'cause I think I went in 2014 or 2015 maybe, and yeah, we were there until 4 in the morning. We didn't even start until 11. Because yeah, it was like the very last one. But I
Oh,
think part of
God.
that was like, you know, they saw how many of us there were. Like there were over, you know, over 100 people. And actually, what I thought was like really hilarious about the whole thing was there was only so like there was over 100 people there to testify. There was only one person there to speak against any of the bills. And guess what his job title was? He was the
What?
warden of a prison. So everybody was there saying, "Yeah, we need to legalize weed." And he's there saying, "No, we need to keep it illegal because I need to keep my prison full." Yeah,
Jackass,
say
can I say
it. Oh yeah,
that?
you can swear all you want.
And he stayed up there the whole time just to say that.
They let him go first because, you know, the system helps their own.
Yeah.
But
Well, you know what?
it was
That
so
was
ridiculous.
2014. What happened to y'all in 2017, Daniel? Because it was not, I didn't see 100 people. But like I said, you know, it's going to be different for 2019. It's too many of us. You know, they may not even do it. They may just go ahead and pass it, you know, because if it's 300, 400, 500 people out there to talk or whatever, I mean, what can they do? You know,
Yeah.
since Texas want to run the laws and do their bills like that, well, okay. You know, well, then we'll go ahead and dance to your music. But they're gonna have to dance to ours too, you know. We're gonna be partners.
But did you
So,
say
you know.
did you say
Yeah.
partners? Was
Yeah,
no, but like something else I was oh, so when we went and
did.
testified, actually, it's almost like it was kind of pointless because it seemed like because this was just a
Yeah, like they was
committee.
gonna say no
No,
anyway.
they said yes and they passed it, but it was just the committee. And so
Oh, okay.
I think and of course, like that article, because one of the bills was what was his name? Simpson. It wasn't Dave. Was it David Simpson? He wrote this bill that basically says we're going to remove the word marijuana from every law there. We're going to remove any law that has the word marijuana in it. It was complete decriminalization, and it passed this committee. And this article still, you know, you still see this article going around that says like, you know, it says Texas House passes bill to blah, blah, blah. But it's like, no, they didn't pass the bill. They passed it through a committee. And it was one of those things where, like, so now it's passed by the committee. But they never got to a floor vote on it because it never made it into the calendar. So that's kind of like that whole, you know, it's that process that I think gets a little bit more intimidating, and it's more, it gets kind of complicated. And you know, a lot of people get lost there with that. But I think the reality is, you know, regardless of some of the downfalls of this system, and because I mean, there's plenty to complain about. I mean, I'll complain all the time about it. It doesn't matter how hard you convince these guys they're gonna do what they want to do. But the reality is, I still say go do it anyway, because you know, you make noise, you show support, you make them realize that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who do support this, and eventually they're gonna start to, you know, be afraid of the numbers that you have, and that's gonna cause them to, you know, because ultimately, right. Like, you know, they're not afraid you're gonna throw a Molotov cocktail in their window, but they are afraid that they're gonna get unelected, and when they see a lot of their constituents coming in and saying like, hey, you need to vote for this, or else we're not gonna vote for you, then, you know, because that's the source of their power, so. I know a lot of my viewers are basically like, ah, fuck the system, don't vote, none of that works. But I say hit it from every angle. It's, you know, especially if you live close to the Capitol.
Really? Okay.
Or, you know, it's yeah, why not? You know, you've gotta attack it from every angle possible, because, you know, the more, even if it's, you know, throwing a little pebble at this giant machine, if you've got a million people throwing pebbles, that little machine's gonna, you know, it's gonna get a pebble stuck in a gear or something, and it's just gonna break down. So it's, you know, you've got to hit it from every angle, and hit it with everything you got.
Well, you know, I just wanted to say what you were saying about talking to these representatives, and they gotta listen, you know, and it just seemed like in 2017. Like, we would talk to them, it just seemed like they really didn't care, you know. Mm-hmm. So they throw us this little compassion act, in which they probably knew about it, that, okay, they was going to throw us this little compassion act. But who was it for? I mean, God bless them kids, you know, that have the epilepsy, you know. And I'm sure, especially with it being severe, they need some kind of help. You know what I'm saying? But it's more people in Texas that are sick and have things that's wrong with them. You know, I just think that was just kind of selfish, or I have to really figure out how did the money involved come into this, you know, because I know it was some to it.
Always.
You know. But exactly. But I just know that they gotta know that this Compassionate Act is just not gonna do it, you know. And so, you know, I do have a question for you, though, you know, before we have to go.
All right.
I'm really interested to know about you and about your freedom for cannabis, you know, because I know that you do have an interest in it. You came to the event, you know, Crystal Beach and all, CannaFest. And so I would like to know your views, you know, and then, you know, how do you plan on, you know, helping us with this fight here in Texas, you know?
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you that in NOLA.
it's really interesting. Yeah, you know, first of all, the way I see it, the government has no right to tell you what you can or cannot put in your body. That's just kind of a basic foundational principle. You know, if you join an HOA, does the HOA decide, you know, do they get to decide what you consume? Do they get to say, like, you know, well, if you live in our community, you're not allowed to make popcorn because we think it's bad for you? Like, no, like anyone would think that's insane. Now with weed, it's like, weed is as harmless as popcorn. But the reality is they've spent so much effort going through all this, you know, creating all this propaganda to make it seem like such an evil thing, because when you make it seem like an evil thing, then you can actually get people to support criminalizing it, because, you know, you just come up with like all this propaganda that says, oh my God, these drugs are ravaging our streets, and if we don't get rid of them and throw everyone in prison, then all of our kids are going to turn into, like, you know, sex raged serial killers, and, like, you know, whatever the narrative is that they come up with. And so, you know, it's even if that's true, that it could be that bad, which it's certainly not. The government doesn't have the right to tell you what you can or cannot do. And even a more extreme example. So I was having a conversation with a sheriff while he was, he stopped me on the side of the road. It was on that long stretch of highway that goes between McAllen and San Antonio, and, you know, they're looking for drugs. And so I was talking with one of the, you know, I was talking with one of the sheriffs and telling him, like, hey, you guys need to end this drug war. It's pretty stupid. You're wasting all your time on me. Yeah, they spent a good hour with me on the side of the road. And I was like, you know how many drug dealers just got by while you were wasting your time with me? But he had this concern. He had this concern that you know, well, the other day I arrested a guy for breaking into someone's house, and he was stealing money so he could go buy meth. And I was like, okay, well, was he in possession of meth? No. Was he on meth? No. What'd you arrest him for? For breaking and entering. And I was like, okay, so what do drugs have to do with this? Like, that's not even a drug charge. He's breaking and entering. Arrest him for breaking and entering and do whatever you want with him. I'm not going to stop you. But then they take it. Well, if it weren't for the drug, well, hey, you know what? There are people who would break into your house and steal money because they want a new stereo, or they want to buy an upgrade for their car, or they want to buy a nice gift for their grandmother. There's a million reasons people are going to break into someone's house. That's a violation of someone's house. That's a violation of someone else's rights. If you want to prosecute someone, do it for that. And so, you know, the drug just becomes a false narrative that they put on top of everything else. And they use it for, you know, it's so crazy that the way that they can do this. And it also, like, when you create these little nonsense laws where, you know, these victimless crimes, you actually create institutionalized racism that way. Because if somebody breaks into someone's house, right, the victim can basically go to any court and say, this guy broke into my house. I want him to go to jail. I want him to reimburse me for the, you know, whatever he damaged. Any person can do this. The expectation is that when the police catch a person doing that crime, that they're going to punish them and you know, do whatever they do. But when you have victimless crimes, then you have this system where there's no victim to ensure that the person, you know, not that the person should be punished, but that the person who committed this quote unquote crime gets punished, except for the system. So you have police officers and judges, and they can sit there and they can say, okay, well, all these people are lined up in my courtroom. They've got violations from, you know, possession of marijuana, driving without a seatbelt, not signaling for a turn. And as they walk through here, I can say, and I've seen this before, like I've seen this, I saw this personally with a judge. He is, you know, a fake judge, but still part of this, you know, playing the role of the judge. And he said something to the effect of, all the pretty girls, I'm going to dismiss all your tickets, and bam, gone. And so that, because there's no victim, right? There's no victim to stand up and say, but wait, you can't just let the criminal go because I'm a victim. Nobody's going to say that because there is no victim, right? So it's really just up to the judge to say, if he wants to be racist, if he wants to be sexist, whatever he wants to be, I don't like I don't like the way you're dressed. I don't like the job that you have. I don't like the color of your skin. I don't like your accent. I don't like that you had to bring a translator to talk to me. Whatever it is, a judge can just say, get this asshole out of here. Guilty. Gone. And, you know, with all these, most of these victimless crimes, there doesn't even need to be proof of evidence, especially with, like, traffic crimes. So, it's, I think there's an entire... This whole system runs so deep, and we're just so used to so much of it, and it being in every aspect of our lives, that everybody just kind of shrugs it off and says, "Well, that's just the way the things are. If we get rid of all these police and all these fake courts and all these traffic cops and like all this other thing, people are going to be driving around without seatbelts, and they're all going to die." Like that's kind of like the false narrative that people have in their heads. And so, you know, whether it's a seatbelt, hey, if you want to, like, I wear my seatbelt. I don't have to. I do most of the time. But if I don't because I'm on a really short trip or I forgot to, I don't think that's cause for, you know, some guy in some funny costume with a shiny badge to come up to me and extort me for money. That's not justice. He's not saving me. If he was really interested in my safety, he might pull me over and say, hey, you forgot to put on your seatbelt. But that's not what they do. They want money, right? And it's the same thing with drugs. I mean, it's really the same thing. Nobody's afraid of, you know, nobody's afraid of especially weed smokers, you know, running around and terrorizing the city. I mean, because the reality is any city you live in, half the people are, you know, they're weed smokers, and there's no epidemic of, you know, weed smokers going around and creating all these crazy crimes. Meth users, even, there's like, I know there's some of them are known for, you know, breaking in and stealing and all kinds of other things, but it's not every single one of them. It's actually a pretty small portion. There are people who do all kinds of drugs. And that's even an exaggeration, too, to say that, you know, meth is like this crazy drug that's going to... No, the reality is meth and I think it's Adderall are almost identically the same. Not just chemically, but in terms of the effects and all this other stuff. And they say, you know, all the research says that they've got the same effects, especially if you take them in the same dosage. Of course, you know, people who abuse drugs, they're smoking meth or they're inhaling meth, which is going to give you a much different effect than if you take it in a pill form. But hey, you could do the same thing with the pill form, right? Like if you're prescribed Adderall, you can
right,
just
exactly.
You can huff it or smoke it or whatever. So this is just like that one is completely criminal and the other one is a necessity somehow and for certain people. And what's the real difference? The real difference is the billions of dollars that have gone into creating a narrative that this substance is evil and it's going to make you do bad things and this substance is going to save your life. And that's really all there is to it.
Exactly.
and so back to like, you know, the point of the government has no role. It should have absolutely no role in telling you what you can or can't put into your own body. Someone else's body, yes. Your own body, no. If you want to buy something and you know that you know what's in it, you know there's potential risks, you know it's dangerous, that's your choice. Some people want to live short, exciting lives. Other people want to live really, really long, boring lives. That's your choice. You can do whatever you want.
It's your body. It's your body.
Exactly. It's yours. It's not the government's.
So we can expect you to be out there with us, to support us, and all that great stuff when we have stuff going on. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
So, well, it looks like we're about at time, but I just want to give you another opportunity to plug any, if you have any websites or Facebook pages, anything you want anyone to follow you.
Yes. Well, again, I just want to talk about the event for October the 6th. It's going to be Cannabis Reform in Houston Walk and also COCW. We're going to be at McGregor Park from 3 to 7. And then after that, October the 6th, from 8 p.m. until, we'll be at Midtown Bar and Grill. And we're going to have Rock to Vote, Cannabis Reform in Houston will be there, COCW, and we'll have music, entertainment, and all of that. So we're asking for all the candidates to come out. Doesn't matter, Libertarian, Democrat, Republican. We're all going to get together. We want to make sure everyone is registered to vote, you know. So that's the most important thing, guys. You know, in every party, we want to make sure people are registered so that they can use their voice. And then also, you know, we'll talk more. We do have an event coming up October the 27th. That's for Halloween, but we call it Halloween. And so we're going to party. Halloween, October the 27th, and that's going to be at Midtown Bar and Grill, too. We invite you to come down if you want to. It's the Saturday before Halloween, so, you know, we're going to have a great time. We'll have some wonderful artists there, and we're looking for performances, too. So if anyone wants to get on the show, get with me, LaTanya Williams. Or hit me on Cannabis Reform in Houston Facebook, okay? So, and I also like to thank another person, Michael Anderson. He's my communications director. And through all of it, you know, he's been there with me. And, you know, when you have organizations, it's very hard to keep people, you know, who's dedicated that will stay with you through the ups and downs, you know, so I want to give it to them, you know. And also what I like for everyone to do is to get on our Instagram. That's Instagram is Free the Weed, HTX. Facebook is Cannabis Reform in Houston. And our website is cannabisreformofhouston.org. And make sure you get with us, you know, because we have one purpose. And that's the Free the Weed in Texas. Free the Weed.
Free the Weed. All right. Awesome. All right. Well, it's been great talking with you. And until next time, taxation is theft.
Yes, it is. Taxation is theft. Free the Weed. Thank you.